Good evening. In this week's Parsha Sekev, we have the second paragraph of Shema. Last week we learned in Parshas Vaschanan, first paragraph. Into this week's Parsha Sekev, we have Oyem Shemaya Tishmuel Mitzvaytai. The second paragraph of Shema can be seen in a couple of different ways, at least. The Mishnah in Maseches Brachos refers to it in contrast to the first paragraph, which is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, accepting upon ourselves, the yoke of heaven, accepting Hashem as the one, accepting Hashem as our Melech, as our King. The second paragraph of Shema is referred to as Kabbalas Ol Mitzvahs, accepting upon ourselves the yoke of His specific mitzvahs, of His commandments. That's why the Mishnah explains, why do we say first the first paragraph and then the second? They're printed in two different places, and that they're written in two different places in the Torah. First, you're Makabal Olav Ol Malchus Shamayim. First, you accept upon yourself the general yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and then all mitzvahs. If you're my king, right? Kablu malchusai va'achar kach kablu gezeiraisai. First you accept that I'm the king, and then you accept the specifics of the commandments. And v'hoyim shamaya tishmu el mitzvaisai asher anaychi mitzav eschem ayoyim. If you will listen to my commands which I'm giving you today, and so on and so forth. That's one aspect of how this paragraph of Shema is to be seen. The second aspect, another aspect, is schar v'einish, reward and punishment. Because in fact, that's the basic flow of this paragraph. If you listen to my mitzvahs, it doesn't begin and say, you should listen to my mitzvahs. Like the first paragraph, v'yohatzo, you should love Hashem, your God, and so on. If you listen to my mitzvahs, then you have this that lies in store for you. If you don't, so then, heaven forbid the opposite. The Torah is presenting, and we repeat, as part of our acceptance of Malchus Shamayim every day, that there are genuine, real consequences to our choices in terms of following HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or heaven forbid, the opposite. And that's a very significant part of this second paragraph of Shema. In truth, if you learn over your Mavir Sedra, this week's Parsha, it's really the Parsha from beginning to end. In the first words of the Parsha, if you'll listen to these laws and you observe them, so then our Kodesh Baruch Hu will maintain the bris, and He'll bless you, and He'll bless everything which comes from you, and your produce, and so on and so forth. All kinds of material brachos, material blessings in this world, as a result of the fact that you adhere to the mitzvahs, but if you don't, dot, dot, dot. And really the whole Parsha goes that way, with interceding things where it tells the story about when Kal Yisrael accepted the Torah, and then when they violated it, the Egel Hazov, and it was broken. But it's all about this thing that if you keep it, so then the covenant is maintained, the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people is maintained, and with that comes all of the bracha, and comes all of the taiva, everything that's going to go along with it. And heaven forbid, the opposite. It's a very important theme in the Parsha, it's an important theme in the Torah, and it's an important aspect of the second paragraph of Shema. We say it every day, Baboker Guerev, in the morning and in the evening. And I think in trying to understand these two pieces of it, these two elements of it, the specifics of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs and the world of the consequences of the mitzvahs which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, I'd like to try to frame this and to present this so that perhaps it can enhance our action in terms of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, in terms of what we're supposed to be doing each day with the reading of Shema. I would like to do it perhaps by taking a step back in the world, in the ideas of reading, of learning Shema, of davening Shema, to the structure of how we indeed say the Shema every day. Now, the rule is that b'shachar mevorech shtayim lefaneh v'achas le'achareh. In davening, we don't just fulfill the Torah commandment of reading Shema, we surround the Shema by the brachos of Shema. The blessings of Kriya Shema, starting where we say Baruch Hu in the morning, we say Baruch Hu in the evening, and following that we have two introductory brachos to the Shema. We say the Shema, three paragraphs, and then we have one follow-up bracha in the morning, two or three follow-up brachos in the evening. But the core three brachos that we say, morning and evening, are the bracha of the Ma'oros, what we call, the bracha of the luminaries, of the Ma'oros, the lights and the stars and the sun and the moon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, basically the creation of nature. The second bracha is the bracha of the selection of Klal Yisrael. HaBocher ba'amo Yisrael bi'ava, Oev amo Yisrael. The bracha of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established a special relationship with the Jewish people. And the third bracha is the bracha of Geula, the bracha of redemption. Baruch Atah Hashem, Goal Yisrael, the bracha of redemption, really about not only the past redemption of Mitzrayim, but also the ultimate redemption that we will have in Yirtzeh Hashem L'Asad Lavo. Certainly in the morning, we emphasize the redemption of the future as well. I would like to suggest to you that the three brachos really, in the greatest sense, corresponds to the three paragraphs of Shema. That the three paragraphs of Shema express three themes that are in turn articulated bilshon chachamim in the tefillos and the brachos that we say before and after them. Now, part of this is easy. The third bracha is the bracha of Geula, and it really very, very much corresponds to the third paragraph of Shema. The third paragraph of Shema is primarily said to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the third paragraph is to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that goes right into the third bracha, the bracha after Shema, which in fact we go into without an interruption. You're not supposed to interrupt between the two of them. We say Hashem Elokeichem, Emes, right, V'yamunu, or Emes V'yati V'nachon. We are not supposed to be mafsik. We're not supposed to make any interruption between the third paragraph and the following bracha. The Chazal even composed it. The verse ends, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, but they made the first word of the next bracha, Emes, to be really part of a phrase which the Pasuk says, Hashem Elokim Emes, so that the two could be blended together. Because the last bracha is really the bracha of Goal Yisrael. In the Gemara, when it uses the parlance of trying to speak about whether the person's not sure if they fulfilled the mitzvah of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim, they said, if he didn't say Emes v'yativ shachris or Emes v'yamuna arvis, if he didn't say it, if he's not sure if he said it, that's the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's Hashem redeemed us, and we make the bracha over the fact that Hashem redeemed us, and Hashem will ultimately redeem us. The first two are a little less clear as a connection. So let's try to explain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem created a world of teva, a world of nature. A world which has a whole system, a whole scientific system that exists. We all function beneath the sun and the moon and the stars, and our fate, to some degree, the way our life goes, is going to be heavily influenced by that. Right? The summer is different than the winter. It has to do with the sun and the moon and the stars. You know, in general, the way things grow and develop has to do with the positioning and everything within the atmosphere, within the world. Every area of the world is different because of its position relative to the way the its position relative to the sun and the moon and the stars. Those ma'iris, those luminaries, as we have in fact in the Parsha, Asher Cholak Hashem Elekecha Oisam, L'chol Amim Tachas Kol HaShemayim, last week's Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them as the portion, the sun and the moon and the stars. We're not supposed to look towards them and worship them. The nations of the world, they look towards them, they worship them. And there are two interpretations which Chazal give when they say that was the portion of the nations of the world. One interpretation is, okay, they're there in the heavens. The nations of the world look up, they see them in such a great and prominent position, so they're fooled, they think they're important, and they worship them. Cholak can mean slippery. It was something that they would slip on, make a mistake on, stumble over. Alternatively, Asher Cholak Hashem Elekecha Oisam can mean, this is what's the way Rishonim understand, that Hashem made it their portion. In other words, Hashem did create a world which has a system of nature of sorts, where things go, Olam Kiminhago Noeg, the world follows its pattern, the pattern that Hashem established. You put the seeds in the ground, you water them, the weather is right, and the seeds grow. And they grow into plants, and they grow big things. The nature of the way the world was created is that Olam Kiminhago Noeg, there's a teva, there's a nature, and things can follow that nature and develop and grow without an apparent direction afforded to them by Hashem Yisbarach. However, the Jewish people, we understand that part of the Bechira, part of the selection of Klal Yisrael was that we aren't subject to that. That we are pulled out from being simply just cast along the currents of nature. Instead, we are functioning tachas hashgachas Yisbarach, beneath Hashem's hashgacha, with divine providence. And that's what dictates our lives. That's what makes everything happen. This is something which was brought to us from the very beginning of the Bechira of Am Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram Avinu, and he said, Al tira Avram, anoichi mogein lach schorcha harmet me'oi, Avram, don't be afraid, I will shield you. That was in fact, you know, the beginning of the phrase which we say in the beginning of every tefillah, Baruch Atu Hashem, mogein Avraham. Hashem said, anoichi mogein lach, I will be your shield. We refer to Hashem as the shield of Avram. So Avram Avinu said, you know, he was worried, what can you give me? How can you give me? I don't have, what reward will you give me if I haven't had children? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram, the Pasuk says, he took him outside, and he said to him, look towards the sky. Go, count the stars. If you will be able to count them, so will be your children. Says Rashi, Lifipshuta, according to the simple reading, Avram and the Rabban Shem were talking by the fireplace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here, come, let's go for a stroll outside on the deck. They go outside on the deck, he looks up to the heavens, and he says, look at the stars, see if you can count them. However, says Rashi, what did Chazal say, Vayetei Esa Achutza, is that he took Avram Avinu Mechalolei Shalolam. He took him out of the space, the atmosphere of the world. He pulled him above the stars. And he said, I want you to look down at them. You are not subject to them. The rest of the world is subject to them. You're sitting here, you're however old you are, your wife is however old she is, you're wondering, you haven't had children, you're subject, you know, naturally you don't expect that it would be able to happen anymore. Avram Avinu, you are not subject to that. You are going to be completely different than everybody else. Ein mazal li Yisrael. The Jewish people are not subject to the mazalos, to the stars, to the whims of the way the nature of the world will go. You have consistently the specific and the special hashgacha, the specific and the special involvement of Hashem. And that's the same thing that we celebrate to a great degree in the notion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the idea is that we say, look, why are we remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why is it so important? So as the Ibn Ezra explains, That's why the Aseres HaDibros begin this way, I'm Hashem, you God who took you out from Eretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avadim, because according to the way nature would go, the Jewish people would have been doomed there, stuck there, lost there in Mitzrayim forever. Yitzias Mitzrayim demonstrated that Hashem is treating them by a different set of rules. By a different set of rules. But that was, while in a certain sense it is dramatically expressed in the moment of Geula of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but in concept it exists from the moment of Bechira of the Jewish people, from the moment when the Jewish people are chosen. From the moment when the Jewish people are chosen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your fate, whether you have chayim or mavet, whether you have life or the opposite, whether you have rain or whether you have drought, is going to be completely and totally as a result, not of the stars, not of El Nino or El Nina, but it's going to be completely a result of your connection to me, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the change. That's the Bechira of Klal Yisrael. And so, when we read the Birchos Kriyat Shema, what happens? What do? First, we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Yotzer Oru V'Arechoshech Osa Shalom U'V'Areyas HaKol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the light and the darkness. Asher B'Dvorei Marev Aravim B'Chokhmah V'Yiseach She'orim. Who creates the light and the darkness and all of the flow of nature. It's about the universal creation, the first Bracha of Kriyat Shema. It's about everything which exists out there in the Bria. And the Ma'ayrais, of course, the luminaries, the sun and the moon and the stars, so to speak, those controlling factors, most of all, those that the nations of the world, Asher Cholak Hashem Elokechosam, the alternative interpretation, Shem made it, they would worship it, they would serve it, because indeed that's what they're subject to, that's what controls their fate. Hashem created the world of nature. But then what did he do? Then what he did was, Ava Solom Beis Yisrael Amcha Avta. You chose Klal Yisrael Ba'ava. And you said, instead of leaving it, that it's just going to be this general system which exists, you I love, you I chose, you I will deal with directly, and I will not subject you to just being generally like all the other nations of the world, part of the system. Part of the backdrop. The two paragraphs of Shema that we have, the first two paragraphs of Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad, of course, means Hashem is the one and only, the source of all existence that is there in the world. The phrasing of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is a very, very important combination. On the one hand, it is a very particularist kind of an expression. Shema Yisrael. Listen Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem is our specific Elohim. Hashem manages our lives and is directly involved in our lives specifically. But at the same time, Hashem Echad. Hashem is the one and only of the whole Bria, of the whole world. Everything that exists, exists only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a certain sense, the first paragraph of Shema expresses both the universal and the particular. Both the Echad, Vayomali Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, like a little bit of what we talked about last week, and the very, very particular of Klal Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. But the second paragraph is absolutely particular. Vahoya im Shamaya Tishmu El Mitzvaysay Asher Anachim Tzavez Chemayah. If you will listen to my mitzvahs, I'm commanding you today. So now you will understand through these mitzvahs that everything which happens to you is going to be completely dependent on the mitzvahs. It's not going to be the ma'oros. It's not going to be the way the world turns that's going to determine your fate. But it's going to be im shamaya tishmu el mitzvaysai. It's going to be completely, completely the result of your mitzvahs. And while Yitzias Mitzrayim is very different, it's a new stage that's described, that's very, very different than vayim shamaya tishmu.
but they have the relationship of Nes Nigla v'Nes Nistar, of the visible miracle and the hidden miracle. The Ramban writes in last week's Parsha, where it speaks, we learned the Aseres HaDibros, and it says you should keep the Shabbos. Why should you keep the Shabbos? So that you'll be able to remember that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. And the Ramban asks the obvious difficulty, that in the first version of the Aseres HaDibros it says, you'll keep the Shabbos, why? So you remember that I am Hashem who created the heaven and the earth. So the Ramban explains that the idea is that it's one and the same. Because when you had Yitzias Mitzrayim, when you had the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim, so then they demonstrated that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who created Shamayim V'aretz. Of course, Shabbos is a celebration of the fact that Hashem created heaven and earth. However, our ability to testify to that, we weren't there when He created it, our ability to testify to that comes from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Comes from the fact that Hashem showed us the absolute miracles. And the Ramban similarly writes, in one of the most important and famous passages in the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, that it's the same relationship between Neitz Nigla and Neitz Nista. That there's no such thing, when we look in our world, in the world of Klal Yisrael, as Teva, as something called nature. Because it is no more natural that when the water turns into blood than it is when the fact that it rains and the Jewish people are going to be blessed with plentiful crops is going to be connected to the time when the Jewish people are doing the right thing. Although rain and crops are natural phenomena that would exist even without anything special, but the fact that they match the pattern of Ahayoyim Shamoa Tishmuel Mitzvosai, that they match the pattern of how things work in terms of the Jewish people's connection to Hashem, that's absolutely a miracle. It's not Teva. It's Bechiras Am Yisrael, it's the selection of Klal Yisrael, and the differentiation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're not simply subject to the sun and the moon and the stars. Neis Nistar v'Neis Nigla. If the third paragraph of Shema, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Mitzrayim, showed and demonstrated absolutely through dramatic moments and dramatic specific events that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treating the Jewish people uniquely and differently, V'hayayim Shama Tishmu shows the same thing in the long view. It shows the notion of Bechiras Amo Yisrael, the choosing of the Jewish people, through thick and thin, that it's there, and that indeed everything about our lives is going to be revolving around this bechira, revolving around this selection. Last week, in learning the first paragraph of Shema, so we spoke about the idea that's inherent in Hashem Echad, that's inherent in Avas Hashem, which says that really no matter what, the Ohev, the one who loves, ignores in a certain sense the pleasure and the pain. Lo'asid lovo, in the future, it doesn't matter what will happen to the person, everything we will make a bracha of Hatoyva Hameitiv. Rabbi Akiva, who was able to be mekabel olav ol malchus shamayim, accepted upon himself ol malchus shamayim, no matter what, right? He was saying Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. His ava, his love, made everything being able to be accepted in the same way. In the second paragraph of Shema, there's a tremendous amount of stock put into whether we have good or bad. It's all the difference. If Ava says, I love Hashem no matter what, but the second paragraph of Shema puts a tremendous emphasis on the details. Is it going to be no matter what or not? In fact, you understand what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm saying it clearly. Now, Rabbi Akiva, so to speak, didn't care.
He didn't care whether he was having plenty and great wealth or riches, or whether he and his wife, who were Meiser Nefesh, they gave up all the riches of the house, the wealthy house which he came from, just so he could have Torah. And then he went on and he was being torturously killed by the Romans, and he loves Hashem. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. He's not goris. He pays no attention, it seems, to whether his situation personally is good, quote-unquote, or quote-unquote bad. To him, it's all avas Hashem. It's all love. Everything, he's completely dedicated to Hashem. We come to the second paragraph of Shema, and it's all as if it's just dangling a carrot in front of you and saying, if you do my mitzvahs, then everything that you're going to have is going to be good. If you don't do my mitzvahs, then you're going to have difficulty. It doesn't seem to be speaking to the Rabbi Akivas of the world. And in a certain sense, there are many who interpret it this way. Right? Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the Chafetz Chaim, amongst others, explained that that's why there's a word which is missing from the second paragraph of Shema. In the first paragraph of Shema, it says, you should love Hashem your God b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, with all your heart, with all your soul, u'v'chol me'oidecha. What's b'chol me'oidecha? With all of your money, with everything you have, or b'chol midu, mida shumayded lach, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, you love Hashem. In the second paragraph of Shema, it says, v'hayom Shema yitishmo mitzvah, if you listen to my mitzvahs, to love Hashem, and to serve Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul. It doesn't say, uv'chol ma'aitchem. It doesn't say, with all your money. It doesn't say, no matter what Hashem gives you. So, the Nefesh, the Rav Chaim Volozhiner, and the Nefesh HaChaim, the Chafetz Chaim, and the Biur Halacha, in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, the Rambam, they say that the reason is as follows. Because the first paragraph of Shema is speaking to the individual. The individual who is able to be Meiser Nefesh completely for Hashem. The unique individuals of their time, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who, it says, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said he would not be involved in anything, in any oil derech eretz, in any matter of the world. He would just completely, completely throw himself over to the Torah. So there are individuals like that. Har be'asu k'Rav Shimon Bar Yochai le'al subiyadam. When the masses try to do like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, they're not successful. Individuals can. And the first paragraph of Shema is in the singular. And it speaks to the individual. So it speaks to the individual who can. Whereas the second paragraph of Shema, is speaking to the masses. It's you in the plural. It's to the full Jewish people. It speaks to everybody. And because it speaks to everybody, so therefore, it can't say you will serve Hashem with everything that you have, with all your money, give it all up. No matter what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, you're going to be able to do it. Because the masses aren't going to be up to that. And so they explain the Gemara in Brachas, where it says that the second paragraph of Shema, even though it says that you're listening to my mitzvahs, it's Eim Eisim Ritzayin Yishol Makom. They're not doing the will of Hashem. What does that mean? In other words, this is not the ideal picture. But what I would like to suggest to you is that, in a certain sense, perhaps, it is the ideal picture. That the absence of the Chol Mi'aydecha, yeah, it's very much deliberate, along the lines of what we see. Because whereas B'chol mi'aydecha means you serve Hashem no matter what He gives you, here the second paragraph is very much about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. It's about what Hashem gives us. And the second paragraph is the actualization, the realization that everything in our world is tied in to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything in our world is tied into our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva, when he was Moser Nefesh, what he was doing was floating above his world. He was saying, The Romans, they're combing the body of Rabbi Akiva with iron combs. But it has absolutely nothing to do with my reality. Right, we explained, right, the Maharami Rutenberg, who said that when a person has that moment of Mesiras Nefesh, he didn't even feel the pain. He was completely disassociated from it. Right? The Romans are combing his flesh with iron combs, so what? I'm connected to Hashem. That is otherworldly. That's experiencing an out-of-body experience. V'hoyim shamoa tishmo mitzvosai. V'nosati mit ha'aretz lechem be'ito. Presents a world where everything which happens in the world indeed reflects precisely our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Torah, he was in the Midbar. When he was given the Torah, he was in the Midbar, and already for several weeks, for almost 3 weeks, he and the Jewish people had been eating the man. You know what happened with the man? If you were a good boy, the man arrived at your doorstep. If you were an okay boy, the man was down the block. If you were a really bad boy, you'd have to walk a couple of mil in order to be able to get the man. You know, like if you're a good boy, the newspaper lands on your porch. Right? So imagine. Imagine the world that Moshe Rabbeinu was in. Not only was he living in a world where the Geula, where the redemption, had just singled out the Jewish people and taken them out from all of the suffering of Mitzrayim, but he was living in a world where everyone and their righteousness was crystal clear, was part of daily life. You were a tzaddik, it was visible in every piece of your experience in this sort of surreal world of the Midbar. And Moshe Rabbeinu, in this world, goes to Har Sinai to accept the Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows him Rabbi Akiva. He shows him Rabbi Akiva and how Rabbi Akiva's dying, how they're combing his flesh with iron combs, how he's dying a torturous death. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zu taira v'zu schara. This is taira and this is its reward. I don't understand how this connects with that. And in the greatest sense, of course, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's the world of Hester. It's the world without v'hoyo im shamoa tishmo mitzvosai v'nosati mitaretz chem b'ito. Whatever the reasons why over there it's different, the reasons which are so profound that our Kodesh Baruch Hu has to tell Moshe, quiet, you know, don't ask me the questions, don't push anymore. But it was a world where those two things were different. Rabbi Akiva was to some degree, in Shammai. He was happy because he was in Shammai. The earthly stuff, despite it, I'm still going to be able to be serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't get in the way. But the idea of being able to see the connection to Hashem manifest in our lives, in our faith, in the positive things that come from it, that is Teiras Chaim. That's what the Torah says when it says, Re'ein asati lefanecha hayoim es hachayim ves hatoiv ves hamoves ves hara. Behold, I have placed before you today life and good, death and bad. In other words, you have to make choices between doing good things and doing bad things. And realize that those are choices between life and death. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell us to do? Uvacharta v'chayim. Doesn't they choose good? Just choose life. In the end of the Torah, in Parshas Nitzavim. Uvacharta v'chayim. Choose life. Choose life in the sense that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, okay, again, now Tov just became Chayim. Right? Good became life. This is what it is. And that's the theme of Ahaya Ekev Tishmon. Right? So then we have the bris, we have the connection. And the expression of the bris is that everywhere that you're going to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeichem, Chayim Kulchem Ayoim, you who are attached to Hashem, you have the bris, so then you have all of this life, you have all of this goodness. Not subject to whims, and not subject in a sense to the opposite. To the opposite of chai. I think that this is why we say this as part of Kabbalah Salmachu Shamayim. On the one hand, you know, as the Rav Chaim Volozhiner, general school would say it, and we discussed before, it's also, you know, in the world of Ayin Panim L'Torah, one could say, you know, the first paragraph of Shema says that we love Hashem no matter what. And then the second paragraph of Shema speaks to our more practical nature. You know what, even if you're not able to do no matter what, but know all the good which comes along with it. But, you know, we generally tend to go the other way and to say that we don't go down, we go up. How do you go up from Vahafta? How do you go up from Kabbalah Sol Machus Shamayim to Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos? Right? It's not just that we're going from the theoretical, we accept upon ourselves Hashem as the King, to the practical, to now, okay, here's the brass tacks, here it is, what we're going to do. But what we're doing is we're translating it into life. That the Malchus Shamayim, the same way Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim to Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, is saying, okay, not only is there a relationship, but as a result of the relationship, this is what I'm going to do. But in the other sense, in this deeper sense, is we're saying it's not just that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but every aspect of our existence, is very, very much going to be defined by this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oil mitzvahs is understanding not just that we need to do the mitzvahs, but that every aspect of our life is going to be determined by how we in fact do it. And while it is true that we who still live in the prolonged period of Rabbi Akiva may not always see it manifest in this Alma de Shikra, in this world, which is the world of falsehood, but in the ultimate sense, it is also there, it's also true. It's as we as a rabbin, we as a Jewish people have not merited, we have not merited being, you know, having the bris, having the covenant restored. So therefore, as individuals, right, we'll end up with all kinds of surprises and differences. But this is the level of Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim. While Rabbi Akiva's V'haftas Hashem Aleikecha, while the first paragraph of Shema, in a sense, pays no attention to these things, it's all completely directed, the human being able to have a kesher of ava, a connection of love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second paragraph says that, you know something, every aspect of your existence as a human being is going to be defined and completely, completely developed as well by this relationship that you have with Hashem. It's not just that the relationship of Hashem will crowd out those other things, but the relationship with Hashem is going to define and envelop those other things. And let me try to just formulate this one more aspect before we conclude. Now, we've learned that part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, as seen in the story of Rabbi Akiva, when will I have the chance to fulfill this, is Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh. A person demonstrating a readiness to give themselves over completely to Hashem Yisbarach. Give over their lives completely to Hashem. Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh, the idea of self-sacrifice for Hashem, can be expressed in the idea, in a person saying, you know what, I'm going to keep this mitzvah no matter what. I'm absolutely committed to the performance of the mitzvah, and therefore here, where it's an issue of pain of death, mitzvah where you're supposed to do it, the person's ready to give up their life for the service of Hashem. Rabbi Akiva was ready to give up his life rather than to serve Avodah Zarah or anything else. He was ready to give himself over completely to the service of Hashem. There's another aspect of Mesiras Nefesh. And the other aspect of Mesiras Nefesh is where you not only say, you know, I'm willing to give up my life to Hashem, but I'm willing to, in a certain sense, to entrust my fate to Hashem. The example of national Mesiras Nefesh of the Jewish people was Lechtech Acharai B'Midbor Be'eretz Lezeruah, where the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, which, to a certain degree, was, wow, now we're not enslaved anymore. But on the other hand, in Mitzrayim, they were subject to the Egyptians. They were enslaved to the Egyptians. The Egyptians would tell them what to do. They would define their schedule and their tasks for the day. But they also took care of them. They gave them their fish. They gave them their food. They gave them wherever it was. And the Jewish people looked back on that time. Right? And maybe again always with the good old day syndrome that it looked better than it was. But it was understood that the Egyptians took care of them. Took care of the Jewish people who were their avadim. They were subject to us. We ate nama de Mitzrayim. We ate the bread of Mitzrayim. For better or for worse. When Klal Yisrael went out into the Midbar, Be'eretz Lo Zeruah, they were leaving Egypt. And they were going somewhere where they had absolutely no control of how their lives were going to be. They were going to a land which could not be planted. As the Parsha, our Parsha itself describes. They went to the Midbar, right? V'tzimaon asher ein mayim, right? They went to the Midbar, nachos saraf ve'akrav, a place which was normally populated by snakes and scorpions, all kinds of vicious creatures, thirst, with no water to break it. They followed, they went into the Midbar where they knew that everything that they would have was completely dependent on Hashem. They weren't being moser nefesh in the sense that they're saying, you know what, we're going to go into the Midbar and we're going to die for Hashem. No. That wasn't what they were doing. They weren't jumping into a fiery furnace. They were going into a situation where they would recognize that everything which would happen to them would be up to Hashem. And as that mon falling, which we described before, that they understood, of course, that it was going to be, to the extent that they were going to be following the mitzvahs Hashem, that they were going to have it, it was all going to be dependent on that. And that's a mesiras nefesh. That's giving yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not giving yourself up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but giving yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to continue to exist, but everything which happens to you, your entire life, is going to be defined by Hashem Yisbarach. That was the moment of Mesiras Nefesh, the moment which Hashem valued so immensely. Koy Amar Hashem, Zacharti lo chesed neurayich, avas kilu loisoyich, lechteich acharai b'hamidbar be'eretz loizeruah. That's the way it worked. The Maral says that the second paragraph of Shema, Kabbalas al Mitzvahs, also is the paragraph which introduces to us Ula Avdoi. Right, the first paragraph says you should love Hashem, your God, speak in His Torah all the time. The second paragraph, it says, V'hayim shamayi tishma mitzvaysai, la'avo es Hashem alekechem, ula'avdoi, not to love Him with all of your heart and all of your soul, but la'avdoi, to serve Him, b'chol avavchem u'b'chol nafshachem. Explains the Maral. Because what's avoida?
Avoda is tefillah. Avoda is prayer. And when you pray, what are you saying? Saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my faith depends on you. You're going to determine whether I have or whether I have not. And so this paragraph continues. And it speaks about how whether we have or whether we have not depends on Hashem Yisbarach. Tefillah, and in general, everything which we do, the mitzvahs which we accomplish for Hashem, they will determine whether we have or whether we don't have, which makes it that avoda is tefillah. Because avoda is work. When you go to work, when you're an eved, when you're a servant, where your performance is going to define your meal ticket. Avoda. The second paragraph is this aspect of Mesiras Nefesh, this aspect of giving ourselves over to Hashem, where we say and we affirm that indeed, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, everything that we have, every aspect of our life, we're ready to be defined by our connection, by our relationship with you. La'avdai v'chol levavchem u'v'chol nafshechem. To serve Hashem with all your heart, with all of your soul. V'hoyo ha'ekev tishmon es ha'mishvatim ha'ele, v'shama Hashem alikech alucho es ha'bris es ha'chesed ha'shem nishvat ha'lavis. The covenant, the connection, the covenant which we establish with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a part of our lives. It's all of our lives. It's not an aspect, and an aspect where we can sometimes retreat into the covenant from other things. It's everything. It's gone. It's whole. It's complete. Vayim Shemaya Tishmu doesn't just speak to our lower nature where we need to be enticed with carrots. Oh, if you do this, everything you're going to have is going to be good. But it's a picture of what it means, of what it means to be completely, completely living in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And that's Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. That's what it means, the acceptance of Ol Mitzvahs. Ol mitzvahs means, you know, what I do today, what I did the first moment I woke up, what I've done since then all day, was so much of it was defined by Hashem. So I davened and I made a bracha and this is what I ate as opposed to doing that, and this is where I walked as opposed to walking there, and this is how I dressed as opposed to dressing differently. What does that mean? Ol mitzvahs, it means Hashem defined everything which you do. And Hashem defines everything which is done to you as well. It's all part of it. It's not the transcendent commitment. I love Hashem. I'm enraptured. And therefore, you know, nothing else matters. No, I'm given over completely. I'm living with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. With what we do and with what we experience. And with what comes to us as a result. Chaim v'hatoiv. The second paragraph of Shema, the paragraph which corresponds to Avas Olam Beis Yisrael, the love which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, which says, you know what? You're not just out there in the world with a connection with me. But this is an Ava, which means that constantly intertwined and completely intertwined in every aspect of existence and connection. That's the Kabbalah Ol Mitzvahs. We should be zeicha to achieve it, so we will achieve the bracha of the second paragraph of Shema, Man Yirbu Yameichem Bimei Veneichem, and that we should have life, long life on the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to our forefathers.